Reading from Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, our Advent midweek sermon series is based on Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now we also remember that titles or names are given in the Bible specifically, but given to people for a reason. They tell us something about that person, about their appearance, about their work, about their office. They tell us about the person. So when the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the coming Christ 800 years prior to his birth, he used titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So tonight, we focus on the third of those names, the third title found there in Isaiah 9:6, Everlasting Father. So I'm going to break that out into two, both everlasting and father, but I'm going to focus on the name Father first. Calling Jesus Father is a bit odd, isn't it? Because after all, we do have the Father, Jesus is the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. So
So we're calling the Son of God in Isaiah 9 here, Father. Even though Jesus is one with the Father, as we clearly read in our third reading from John, Jesus is not, however, the Father. He is one with the Father, right? United together in perfect harmony as the three distinct persons, but one God. And the language that we use here is critical. It is crucial because there are so many heresies that come about, false teachings that come about in regards to the Trinity, and especially about who Jesus is, which is why when you look at the creeds, both the Apostles and Nicene Creed, the second article about the Son, about Jesus, is always the longest one, because that's where all of the heresies have plagued, most of the heresies have plagued the church about who Jesus is. So I don't want to cause any confusion when we call Jesus our everlasting Father. But why then does the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, call Jesus everlasting Father? Well, in this case, Father means that he made his people, he's the creator of his people, he established his people, and then, two, he rules over his people. He rules over us as would a loving father. Take an example from George Washington. George Washington, you might remember, sometimes is called the father of our great nation, the father of the nation. Why was George Washington called this, or is he called this perhaps in history books? Because George Washington was there from the beginning, right? He fought for the United States. He was there to help establish the United States, and he ruled over the United States as the first president. So he established it and ruled over it. And so in that sense, the way that George Washington is the father of our nation, or that we have church fathers as well, in that sense, we're talking about Jesus being our Father. He's there from the beginning, everlasting, eternal. He's there from the beginning, and he rules over all of creation. That's clear in our second reading for tonight, Colossians 1, where Paul writes, Jesus, he's talking about, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all of these earthly authorities and powers and might, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's hard for us to imagine, but the one that is conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary is the creator of all things. And he rules over all things. And that's good news for us who believe, as our second reading from Colossians 1 said, as those of us who have Christ as the head, and we, the body, his church. So as the head ruling over us, that's good news for us. Because the title Father reminds us that Christ, our Creator, has established us, his church, believers in Christ. He has made us new creations in him by the waters of holy baptism, by grace through faith in his word and in Christ, by saving us from our sins, by his death and his resurrection, and by bringing us, reconciling us back with the Heavenly Father, avoiding his wrath and punishment because he took it all. And that's good news for us. So the title Father reminds us of that, but it also reminds us that Jesus rules, right? He died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, ruling over all things for our good. And Jesus is ruling, always has, always will, even when it seems, by sight, when evil seems to be getting the upper hand, when sin seems to be winning, pain and suffering and the misery that come from sin and evil, And we see it so often when those things appear to be ruling in this world, we remember that Jesus is ruling. He is still in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, he is. He is ruling over all things as our loving Father. Even when it doesn't look like it, let's say when he's a tiny little baby born in a manger, he's still ruling over all things. Or while he looks so weak as he's dying on the cross for our sins, he's still ruling over all things. When we realize that Jesus is our everlasting Father, even when we see things like the misery that sin and evil bring into this world, when we see death, injustice that happens in this world, and the chaos that brings into this world, we know that we have a loving Father ruling over all things for our good. Just like children who don't always understand what their father is doing for their good, we don't always understand how Jesus is ruling as our loving Father for our good, but he does. Jesus promises to work all things, even trial, suffering, pain, all of these things, he promises to bring them to good and ultimately to glorify him in his kingdom. Now, the second part of that title, the word everlasting. Everlasting reminds us that this baby, this Christ child, is not like any other ruler in the history of the world. He's different. Micah 5, in Micah chapter 5, the famous verse that prophesies about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, which I'm sure is part of the Sunday school program, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of days, or from days of eternity." He's been there from the beginning, and he will be there throughout the end, eternal, everlasting. So notice, even in Micah 5, when they're foretelling of the promised Savior, the promised Savior who will be born in Bethlehem is already eternal. He already exists. The Savior exists and is planned before the foundation of the entire world. Again, hard for us to imagine, but this is our God. How can this be? Well, Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal Creator. He is our everlasting Father. And his rule will never end. There will never be a time where Jesus is not in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, there will never be a time he is not in control. When he was lying in the manger, he was in control. When he was hanging on the cross, he was in control to save. To love. He is always, has been, and always will be our everlasting Father. However, we still live in this world where we very much live by sight, the way that we see things. We see so many despising God, despising his wonderful words of counsel, despising his Savior Jesus, where evil and sin and misery and death, injustice and chaos and all these things that it brings, those things appear to be winning and ruling the day. But the reality is, Jesus is still in control. He is ruling as our everlasting Father. And the reality is that this mighty King, strong to save, was born to save us from our sins. And by grace through faith in him, we are cleansed of our sins, of all our wickedness, all our guilt, all our trespasses. The kids in Sunday, or kids in confirmation learned all of the different words for sins. I just listed a few of them. Hopefully they recognize them now. But even though we are sinful, we are cleansed of all of that guilt, and we are at peace with God. And so in the season of Advent, we celebrate the coming of Christ in three ways, right? His past, the Old Testament promise that Christ is going to come. That is what we celebrate Christmas Day, Christ coming into the world. Present in the way that he is coming now through his word and sacrament, but we also prepare for his future coming. And that was very much what our intro had to say. And one day, the king will return. The king who is ruling, our everlasting father, who is ruling over all things, one day he is going to return with all of his visible power and might and glory. Every eye is going to see Jesus as the everlasting father. Even the evil unbelievers will see him. They thought they were in control, but they will be in for a rude awakening. And on that day, we, believers, will rejoice because we will live as citizens in our Father's eternal kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. There will be no more sin, no more pain, no more chaos, no more death, none of this. We wait for that day. And until that final day, we live by faith, not by sight. So even though these things appear to be winning, we know that they are not. Because we have God and his word and his promise, and we have Jesus. And we have faith in those promises of God. For you who believe in those promises and believe in that word, you can be assured that you do have an everlasting Father. A Father loves, and a Father cares, and a Father provides, as Jesus does for you. Be certain that you are a part of his kingdom. You are his child. You are part of his everlasting kingdom. And in this kingdom, in this family, in this body, with Christ as our head, this is a kingdom of love, a kingdom of mercy, a kingdom of hope, hope in the future and life. Because Jesus is our everlasting Father, you can leave here tonight confident, assured, forgiven in Jesus, but you can leave here and you can serve the Lord with your lives, however it is that God has called you to live, knowing and trusting that you are safe and secure in your everlasting Father's loving arms. And he will never let you go, no matter how bad things might appear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.